Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, our son Dow will be 2 years old next Friday. And he's developed quite the personality. It's not always obvious here in the church. He's usually fairly well constrained and has parents that do the right thing, at least a mom that's busy out there trying to keep him from running around all that much in the service. But he's developed quite the personality, and part of it is he is obsessive compulsive. He is very unnerved when things are out of place. Put your cell phone down on a table and he's going to bring it back to you and place it in your hands. If you want to take your shoes off to relax, he's going to pick those up and bring them back to you to put back on. And one of the ways that it came out recently is that Kristen bought him some new pajamas. And bearing in mind the summer heat, she tried something new. And as soon as she put the pants on, Dow, he went, uh-oh, because his foot went right through. And then she put on the shirt, and he went, arms. He'd only worn footy pajamas until this pair. And now his feet were poking out and his arms were poking out, and it was an uncomfortable fit. He was trying on something new, and it didn't really work well for him. And that's the way we are as human beings. Even if we manage to take off something old and give it up after a long period of time, it is a challenge and can be a challenge for us to put on something new. The Apostle Paul knows that. That's why he's writing to the Colossians. He's saying that these are the things that you with which you ought to adorn yourself. God will help you, but put them on for His glory. Let's take a look at the passage and see if that bears meaning of what Paul has to say. Let us begin with a little bit of context as we did last week. In the first couple of chapters, Paul is defending the faith. He's articulating the truth and the core truth that we can do nothing to earn favor with God. Earn merit with God, that God loves us and God redeems us in Christ Jesus. That's why it's called the gospel. That's why it's called good news. We don't have to do anything to create it. We can't do anything to make it go away. God loves the people that He's created, and He seeks to love us even more in redeeming us in His Son. He defends the faith against all the false teachers, all the false prophets who would come along and say, no, you need to believe in Jesus and do this and do that. Go to this service, this celebration. Abstain from this. Drink this. All the things that, if you will, that are accretions over time, things that become important in religious services, he reminds the Colossians, no, they're not necessary. What's necessary is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That and nothing else. That's what redeems you. He defends the faith. But then he has one of his classic therefores. Since then, if you will, in 3:1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. What he has defended, he is now going to demonstrate. He's going to give us examples of how we are to live, the clothes that we are to take off, the clothes that we are to put on. He's going to take truth and say there's an application. And last week, we rehearsed those first verses through 11 in chapter 3. Particularly, we talked about how he had this list of sensual sins, the things that we might do to satisfy ourselves. And then he moves on to the way in which we interact with each other. What one theologian has said have become the acceptable sins, the things that we're hardly frustrated with these days. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. But all of those things we are to take off and be renewed in the image of Christ Jesus. We are to take off a garment. And I talked about the shirt, one of my favorite shirts that I wear when I run, how it had come to have this terrible odor that only got worse as my run went on. And yet, I keep running with it, or at least I did, until last week. Finally, on Sunday morning, as I prepared to come to church, I took it off and I threw it in the trash can. The odor was so bad. But I didn't want to give it up because it was a favorite shirt. It was a gift. And we all admitted that I think almost all of us, I saw a lot of hands go up, that all of us have a favorite garment that we like to wear, something that we've had 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. One wife said she was trying to get her husband to hold up his hand and shout out 30 or 35 years. We are reluctant to give up those things that we've worn in the past. But God calls us to do it. But He doesn't want us to remain naked. He seeks to clothe us in something. And that's where we pick up this morning in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with. First of all, before he begins the list, he reminds us of why we are to clothe ourselves. Because we are chosen, because we are holy, and because we are dearly loved. Think about that. What motivates us to put on the clothes that God would have us wear? What motivates us to aspire to the bar that He sets, the law that He's created? Sometimes we operate out of guilt. Sometimes we operate according to the law. But He's saying, no, it's not because of negative things that you do what I ask of you. It's because you are chosen. That is elect of God. You, John Richardson, you, all of you, have been chosen from the beginning of time to be redeemed in Christ Jesus. And you are holy. That is, set apart. You didn't earn it. You didn't make yourself holy. You didn't become a monk to get holy. You are holy because God sets you apart. He sets me apart. And we are dearly loved. We are dearly loved. As much as His own Son, because He gave Him up that we might be reconciled. These are the reasons that we aspire to the bar that God sets for us, the clothes that He would have us wear, because we are chosen people, we are holy people, we are dearly loved people. Therefore, we clothe ourselves with these things, with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all the virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Clothe yourselves with compassion. What does Paul mean here by compassion? You might think of it more boldly as the bowels of compassion. The Greeks in that day thought that emotions, the deep seat of emotions, were in the stomach, not in the heart, as we often think of. And so deep down, we are to have the bowels of compassion for those who are suffering, those who are hurting. Do we have that kind of compassion? I've told this story once or twice before. My friend Pete Windham's here. He may remember it. I had a young boy that used to come to church with his mother. They didn't come all that often. When they came, he was always very quiet, very sullen, didn't say a whole lot. And he came forward for communion, and he didn't receive communion, but he would kneel at the altar rail for a blessing. And every time I raised my hand to bless him, he flinched. I could only think of the horrors, the abuse that he was subjected to in his home that caused him to do that. I hope it's out of the bowels of compassion that I felt for him. Something was wrong. It's an image I can't get out of my mind. I often think of him and pray for him to this day. Bowels of compassion. We are to look at other people in that way, to know where they're hurting. And even if we don't know where they're hurting, to know that they are. There are two seasons of life, hurting and coming out of hurting. I think if we tell the truth, that's who we really are. There's, with every joy and every wonder in our lives, there's always something that's amiss, something that's bitter, something that has to be endured. And we as a people are going through it. And we want to be mindful of that, even if we're not aware where people are hurting. We want to know that they are and to care for them in that way. We are to clothe ourselves with compassion, the bowels of compassion. We are to clothe ourselves with kindness. What is kindness here in the words of the apostle? It is unmerited favor. To simply care for someone regardless of what they've done, regardless of what they can do. Just simply to love. Simply to care. To extend some kindness to them without regard to merit or favor. We are to put on the clothes of humility. The clothes of humility. We are to see basically other people as better than ourselves. And that was a strong word in the days of the Apostle Paul when pride and domination ruled in the culture. Is it so much different today in the world in which we live, and which power comes to us and what we accrue or by the name that we bear? That's not meant to be operative in the kingdom. We wear other clothes. We wear the clothes of humility that says one is better than me. He goes on to say that we bear the clothes of gentleness. Just having a gentle way about us. Perhaps not of overreacting, and as he'll have a string of words here that are related. He talks about patience, and the NIV really doesn't capture what that word means. It means long-suffering. It means long-tempered, if you will. We are to be long-tempered with folks, not short-tempered, not giving up on people easily, not showing our anger or wrath when someone messes up. When someone makes a huge mistake, yes, even when someone grieves us, hurts us, sins against us. Like God, we are to be long-suffering. We are also to bear with each other, to bear with each other, forbear. That is, just live with one another, given all the little annoyances that we might have, all the ways in which we might annoy each other. Not so much here a wrong, but just the idiosyncrasies of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then he goes on to say, and we are to forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Remember in John, we're told that we love because he first loved us. We also forgive because he's first forgiven us. And in the midst of being grieved, in the midst of being wronged, he gives us the grace to forgive, to move beyond, to set aside, to forbear, if you will, to have a long temper, a long suffering. That's the kind of clothing that the Lord is asking us to bear. He goes on to say, and now over all these virtues, put on love. Over all these virtues that he's already listed, these things that surely are a challenge to us at times, wrap yourselves with an overcoat called love, which binds all of them together in perfect unity. For if we love first, we're going to be able to do these other things, simply to love as he loves us, willing to sacrifice, willing to give up a child in order to see someone else's life made better. We call it altruistic, and in the end, we can say that it's really godly. It's not possible in a human, from a human perspective, but he did it to demonstrate how much we're loved and that we might know it. And over all these virtues, put on yet another garment, the one of love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. He goes on to say, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, that is, the church, the called out people of God that are interdependent, interrelated, integrally intertwined in a way that should not be broken, you are called to peace, to live as a community of faith. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude and hearts to God. Now, can you imagine what a world it would be like if we learned to sing psalms to each other? If you could bear my voice, forbearance. If you were long-suffering and could hear me say that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I could do it in the voice of an angel. And you could do it back to me. I think it would set a new bar for interaction, a new bar for life among us. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We're thankful. These are the garments that we wear. But here's the truth. Sometimes we find it difficult to put on a new garment. Certainly, Dal thought something was amiss. Arms. These aren't supposed to be sticking through these sleeves. I have a shirt that was given to me years ago that's still hanging in my closet, yet to be worn in public. I'm told it's a pretty hip shirt. I want to wear it. I'm just not sure it's me. I think over time we, without thinking, inadvertently create a shtick, if you will, a persona, and it comes out in what we wear and in the attitudes that we have. And sometimes even when we don't mean it, we just put that forward. It's who we want people to believe that we are. And the Lord Jesus Christ is calling us through the Apostle Paul to take that off, to set that down, and to put on other garments. He's saying that the truth in being redeemed in Christ Jesus has an application, a life that you are to live. And it's in these certain kinds of clothing that is meant to be lived. I have trouble putting on new clothes. Not sure that it fits. I've been wearing old clothes so long that I wonder if the new clothes bear any real meaning. How about you? If you were among those last week who said, yes, it's difficult to take off something, to give up something that we've had 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, how much more difficult is it to put something new on over that? Last week I asked you to look through the list of those sensual things and those things and how we relate to the community and just find one and set that as a goal. Lord God, help me take that off this week. Help me to disrobe. Help me to put it down. And the application is the same this week. For all of us to look at the list and see where it is that we need to put on a new garment. A garment that is the image of Christ. One that has compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, forbearance and forgiveness, and which is bound together in love. Are any of those things in particular clothes that you want to put on, that you need to put on, that you find still hanging in your closet, knowing that you're meant to wear them and have yet to do it? I searched the list this week and was thinking about it. I was thinking about forbearance and annoyances and how every once in a while I can get annoyed at how long a conversation goes on or how much background is there. And I thought, well, I can talk about that. Then it became a little bit more painful the more I thought about it and the more I prayed about it, because I realized that the only reason I would be annoyed is if I was so prideful as to think that my time wasn't worth hearing the story. Just a little way in which a garment needs to be put on, at least fully, that I haven't yet. Are the things in that list that you need to put on? That's the application for the week. Search your heart and search the list. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness. And around all of them, love. Find the strength to identify which one you need to be wearing. Ask God for the grace to adorn yourself with it. Amen.